Hi, Augie. Welcome to the show. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Sure, I'm a singer-songwriter from London. I was born in the UK, started singing at the age of like 5 years old. Then I studied it. I was in a little pop group when I was like 16 years old. And then after that, I went to University of Westminster. I did a BA in commercial music. And then after finishing, I think I'd done the first backing vocal job just after uni. So I think my university were going away to South Africa for a big concert called the Two Nations concert with like Prince Charles and Nelson Mandela. I don't know if you ever remember when the Spice Girls met Nelson Mandela.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I do.
so that same concert basically.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was that. So we went and did that. And then after that, I kind of got into garage music, which is about, do you know about UK garage?
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, I kind of accidentally got into that whilst being in like an 8-piece live band. So I was kind of doing a little bit of dance stuff and then doing a little bit of stuff, and I've always written my own songs since I was a child. So then I think that took me into working with an artist, a jazz artist called Natalie Williams. So she had a residency at Ronnie Scott's called Soul Family, and then I ended up having my own night there. I'd released a couple of garage singles at the time, and then I got noticed by a guy who was the main director of Thriller Live, which is a Michael Jackson musical. So I ended up being in Thriller for like 4 years. Then after leaving that, I always wanted to do an album. So I released like a solo album after that, and then ended up doing the House and Garage Orchestra tour, and then actually ended up being a backing singer for the Jacksons, which was amazing. So
Well,
yeah, it's my little story.
I have so many questions. So should we just like let's start from the beginning. Let's go from the beginning of your life, and then we'll make our way through to probably finishing with the Jacksons, because that will be a great story to go through. But let's go back to going from garage to Ronnie Scott's. Okay,
Yes.
that kind of like moment there. What, first of all, why the genres that you've picked?
It was kind of like, so I was working in a studio for a little while with a producer. His name was Lincoln, and where I live in New Cross, he had like a bass, a little studio bass, and he just did a lot of garage and R&B stuff. So, and we started working on tons and tons of garage music, and he had, opposite him was a guy called Danny C, who always had all the greatest people come into his studio, like Kano and the Sugar Babes and all that. And I just forgot, what are they doing? So nosy. So eventually he asked me if I could feature on a cover version of a famous house song called Follow Me by Alias. So I was like, sure, why not? And at the time I was in a live band called United Vibrations, who actually went on to be really big. But there was like eight of us. So we used to do all these squat parties and gigs. So I had a bit of that life and a little bit of the kind of studio life as well. And yeah, so that's kind of where the garage link was. And from being in a live band at the same time, when the garage stuff started to kick off, eventually I kind of had to leave the band because I couldn't really do both. But I missed the live experience of being with a live band. So with Natalie Williams having her night at Ronnie's, I met her because I was writing songs for another artist who was in the same label as her. And she said, yo, I've got an album coming out soon called Secret Garden, and I need some backing singers. Would you mind like helping out? And I was like, sweet. And it gave me that nice balance of being able to be back with the live band again and still doing a club circuit promoting a garage record.
So let's talk about Ronnie Scott's then. Ronnie Scott's is obviously very famously known for everything to do with jazz. I've been there to some awesome nights and they are absolutely phenomenal. I know you've explained obviously how you got there, but what was it really like being part of all of that?
It was phenomenal. It truly was really phenomenal. There's something so historic, mystical, like about being in that space, because so many greats have played there. From Nina Simone to Jimi Hendrix to, just so many people. So, and Natalie had a residency there once a month, and the night was called Soul Family. So she will always have special guests there that were, great singers that were all in and around London. We even had one of Prince's backing singers one time. And I don't know if you guys know Vula Malinga, who she does Basement Jacks and stuff like that. So Vula was one of the backing singers. Charlene Hector, who's also very big, was another one of the backing singers as well. And it was, number one, it was great to be working with phenomenal vocalists. I learned so much, from just being around them and a brilliant band. So it was just, it you were constantly just felt like you were on this natural high of just great music in a venue that just felt I don't know, there's something quite magical about Ronnie's. It just feels very magical. You know, you've been there, right?
Yeah, it does. Like it's literally, it's kind of like another world, pretty much.
Yeah,
And it's
exactly.
just the music, right? It's like so focused on the music. It's
On
such
just the
a beautiful.
music and great musicianship and great singers and great artists. And it was a beautiful, real learning experience of pure musicianship with just raw, great talent, you know? And it was a really, really great thing to be a part of.
It would be fair to say that you're quite multi-talented in the way in which you go about everything, because I mean you're obviously acting and singing and so much more in terms of like your musical ability or progressing with that. What do you think is the number one thing from just first of all those kind of experiences of different genres that you have really brought from all of them?
Number one thing, really, to just truly be yourself. You know, I grew up on artists that were very multifaceted. You know, my favorite artists were Michael Jackson, Prince, Janet Jackson. Do you know what I mean? Really cool people that never ever stuck to one genre, that weren't allowed to grow music, that weren't afraid to grow musically. And so just being around, knowing eclectic music and being brought up in, you know, in London, where you know you got Kiss FM, then you got Radio One, and one minute you listen to Coldplay, the next minute you listen to SWV. Do you know what I mean? It's just such a mix of music. So I could never ever decide what is my actual style. And you get to a point where you realize you don't actually have to. If you want to do a little bit of club stuff, do it. If you want to do a bit of, you know, the Ronnie's vibe, do it. Like, it's your life. You can do whatever you want. So yeah, just to truly be yourself, you know. And I think from doing that, you then start to mold who you are as an artist, and it comes very naturally, you know? So, yeah.
That's wicked. Okay, so now let's go into the Jackson times, but let's not go all the way forward. Let's go to Thriller
Yes.
and that stuff. First of all, what was the transition between everything that you were doing all the way into Thriller?
Well, the weird thing is, I feel like, I know this is going to sound really cheesy, but I feel like I manifested it.
Okay, yeah, no, it's like I love stuff like that.
But I tell you, it's the truth. I tell you why, because I grew up being, I wouldn't have started singing if it wasn't for Michael Jackson, right? It was like he was my hero. So it was like as an 11-year-old, I had a jacket that was covered in MJ and Janet Jackson badges. And I used to wear it like it was the greatest thing. Now I look back and it was like so embarrassing, but I used to wear that to school all the time. So it's just like that was constantly in my head and constantly in my mind. And I was a fan. I went to concerts, I bought albums, yada, 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 the lot. But the irony of it is, I never, ever, ever went to go and see Thriller Live. And the reason why was because I didn't know exactly what it was. You just had this thing that had this big MJ poster outside, and you didn't know whether it was a musical or whether it was a tribute show or whatever. So I was like, what is that? I don't really know what it is. So ironically, you know, I think Michael had just passed away. And I, at the time, I'd been upstairs in Ronnie's bar. Had just opened up. It had been closed for many years. So the backing singers all got offered if we wanted to do our own nights. And my sister is a filmmaker. She's a director. She did the season two of the end of the, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, end of the world. So at the time, she had just done her first short film. So we thought, you know, we didn't want to buy the nights that were there. So we're like, should we do a film and music night? And we had this night running, and then Adrian Grant, who runs Thriller Live, saw me do an MJ tribute night and was like, you should really do Thriller Live. And it had never even entered my head to be in the show ever. I was so busy focusing on being a solo artist. So, but then once he actually said it, it felt like the most natural thing to do. At Ronnie's, all I ever did was sing Michael Jackson's Rock of You. Like, that was my go-to song, or it was Prince's Raspberry Beret. So, and then once I was in it, it felt right to be there. You know what I mean? And it felt, especially after he passed away, I had learned so much from him vocally as a performer that it felt like, in the most weirdest way, that you're kind of giving back. You know, when we traveled, we got to go to Japan and South Korea, just some really amazing places. So it felt like you were giving back in some strange way. It really did.
What's it like going from Ronnie Scott's to the West End, like musical side of things? Is that a hard transition?
It was very hard, but it was something that I was willing to do. At the time, I was completely into just being a muso. I was happy to be that kind of, you know, musician type that was all about my music. I didn't care if I was broke one week or whatever. You know, I was in it for that. So, but then once Thriller came, it just felt like, I don't know, it felt very natural. But then there was so much to learn. And the thing is, when you're a solo artist, like, you're not really disciplined. You kind of do things on your own merit at your own time. You know what I mean? You record at your own time, you know, whether it's, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes, you know what I mean? But all of a sudden you go into musical and it's, you're on the whip. You know, you've got to do your vocal lessons every single day. You have to be, got to work out every single day, be prepared to be on stage. But, you know, when you're doing 8 shows a week, your voice will burn out. So you have to change your diet. You know what I mean? And that discipline, actually, I felt was very necessary to have. And it was great because that particular show is very unique. It's not normal musical theatre people. Because it's a pop show, most of the singers there are all recording artists and the dancers are all commercial dancers. So it was one of those great experiences where, as a solo artist, you spend a lot of time on your own, but now you get to be around a lot of other singers every single day that are in the same field as you. And it was a really, really great experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so your next stage from that was obviously being a backing vocalist for the Jacksons themselves.
Yeah.
Tell me the story from the beginning.
Okay, listen, man, this is the most craziest thing. I'm still trying to, like, process that it actually happened. It's real. Like, I you know, in between that time, I had kind of released an album and I was kind of, you know, featuring on bits of different music. And then, you know, I had the most, like, I'm just going to keep it real. I had the most, like, normal, average job. I wanted to be able to tour and do things in between, but to hold a job down and do that in between is very tough. So I worked with this company called Lucky Voice, literally just being a karaoke demonstrator. Do you know what I mean? Because they would let me have time off anytime that I needed to go on a tour. And it was just the most comfortable job. So I'm there doing that little job, you know, in between. And I get a phone call one day on a Sunday, and it's literally a guy called Gary. And he says to me, a Scottish guy, I'm not going to attempt to do his accent. I'm naturally falling into things like that, but not on camera. But basically, he just literally just is like, you know, Oggy, I've met you before through Austin Drake, who's another really, really great singer. And he said, you know, I manage him. And he tells me you're a big fan of the Jacksons. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, you know, I've got a job for you. And I'm just like, dude, like, if it's anything to do with the Jacksons, I don't care. I'm like, I say, yes, I don't care, whatever it is. And he burst out laughing and he's like, well, basically, I manage them now. And, you know, they need UK backing singers. And I'm like, what? Is this a joke? Who is this? What's going on? And I'm actually screaming before he even gets to finish. So he's like, you know, you got the auditions next week. There's a lot to learn. I'm like, dude, I know every single song. And with the Thriller Live training, like, you know, that made you learn even the extras on top, or every single backing vocal harmony that there was. So I was like, you know, it's cool. So literally 3 days afterwards, I find myself auditioning in front of Jackie Jackson himself. And like, literally, I just wanted to cry my eyes out. And before you knew it, that was it. He said yes. And I thought I was just going to be doing one show. And I ended up doing it, like, you know, various shows over a period of about 7-8 months, the last one being actually the Soul Train cruise, which was in the Caribbean and had people like Karen White and Johnny Gill. And yeah, it was incredible, really, really great. So, you know, I didn't hunt for that phone call and I didn't hunt for Adrian to come down to Ronnie's. I guess I was just following my path and then it just aligned, if that makes sense. So I genuinely do believe that if you think something and it's in your mind and it's in your heart and it moves you and you're very passionate about it, if you're following your passion, it will collide, man. I really honestly believe that.
Wise words. Very wise words. Okay, so if we were taking a look at someone who's coming into the music industry or perhaps they are already developing in the music industry, what's your biggest piece of advice for them?
My biggest piece of advice is believe in yourself 1,000%. There are going to be so many naysayers. Anytime that you bring something original, organic, something that people don't understand, which they're not supposed to because you're an artist, people are going to tell you that it's wrong, or they're going to tell you that basically, you know, you don't know what you're doing. That is the if they say those things to you, you're in a great place. Do you know what I mean? Because you're organic, you're original, you're doing something so fresh. So just 100% believe in it. If you believe in it 1,000%, then you will just follow your own path and do your own thing. And don't be afraid to say yes. You know, a path isn't always just a straight line. You know what I mean? Yeah, embody music so much that you aren't afraid to if someone says, oh, you know, do you want to try doing a bit of backing singing? Great, why not? Do you know what I mean? Oh, do you want to do a little bit of a night at Ronnie's? Great, why not? I never planned those things. I just wanted to be an artist that made albums and recorded music. But on that journey, you meet great people, great musical experiences come, and they all end up leading back to where it is that you want to be. But on top of it, you get to experience these fantastic things that make where you want to be even more richer. So just be open, believe in yourself, stick to your guns, and don't be afraid to be different and creative. And, you know, if you know that it's in you, you've got it.
That's wicked. And you're on the Hypertribe Network. That's how we met. How can people get in touch with you there? Can they
Of
message
course you can. Send me a message. You know, I'm always about, I love collaborating. I like meeting other people. I love just learning different things about other artists. Do not be afraid, man. It's all good.
you? Wicked. Thanks so much, Augie.
Awesome.